Let's jump in. So how many of you have a friend recently, maybe a guy that proposed to his girlfriend? Anybody? Any shot? Any? Okay, a couple? Sweet. All right, maybe in the last year, I don't know. Connect the dots here for you. Imagine that guy. What's his name? Is he here?
Austin,
okay. Does he live in Austin? That'd be cool. Okay, Austin. So Austin probably called you, right? Or did you go? Were you at this engagement party or something like that? Because that's the thing, right? Engagement party. For those of you taking notes. Some of you need to pop the question. I'm just saying. Okay, so he probably had an engagement party. You showed up. Bunch of friends, right? Hopefully she said yes. That'd be awkward. So everybody showed up, right? You celebrated and then disappeared, right? Imagine if Austin called you about a month or two later. Said, what's your name?
Caleb.
You're never going to believe this. She's pregnant, and it's not mine. Pregnant and not mine. How do you think old Austin's going to, how do you think, what are you going to say? Just
you got to get out of there.
How many of you are going, head for the hills, right? I mean, can we all be in unison? Most likely you're heading for the hills. Well, believe it or not, that is the element of the Christmas story that I want to look at tonight. I think this guy, Joseph, he doesn't get near as much credit as anybody else in the Christmas story. He's one of the more overlooked characters, and yet Joseph has an unbelievable ride. And so we're looking at this idea of Christmas miracles, and what we're going to do tonight is really lean into Joseph. I want to kind of look at this story through his eyes, and I hope it's helpful. Maybe there'll be some new insight, but more importantly, I think it's just going to help us kind of lean in. Because this guy, I really think his courage and his selflessness really lifted the Christmas story to a whole new place. And so it's just fitting that we talk about it. Now, a couple things we should note. There, just to kind of set the context for you so you kind of understand what it's like. We hear about the Christmas story. We think about, you know, the night that Jesus was born. And most of the time we think of it as a happy thing because it's such a joyous moment for us. But in that time, like in our world today, it was very dark. And there was a heavy struggle. Israel, which would have been the nation that they were a part of, was beat up. They had been under multiple rulers that were just flat wicked. They had been divided as a nation by the people that have conquered them. There was just a sense of, if you will, modern day depression. And the thought of this Messiah that they had been taught about since they were kids actually coming and saving the day, that just seemed like something that would never happen. And so this is kind of the environment in which Jesus drops into. It was a dark time, and this group of people really struggled. And Nazareth, the particular town where Joseph is from, this was a place that was really poor. There really wasn't anything great coming out of Nazareth. You see that later on in Scripture. And so I think of it as the one stop sign town. You ever been to one of those? You drive forever and they have maybe one stop sign in the entire town. That's the kind of experience, the place in which this happened. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, and we're just going to read a couple verses. And what I'd like to do tonight, maybe feel a little different, I just want to walk us through these verses, and then periodically I'm just going to stop and highlight certain elements about Joseph that I think are just really, really significant. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, I think it'll be on the screen behind me. Let's read the first verse, and let's look at this together. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's pause there. Lots of really interesting things happen in this just one verse alone to give you some context. First, let's talk about Mary. How many know how old Mary was during this time? Anybody? 14. Pretty good. We don't know 100%, but we think somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 16, 14 is probably the most common denominator of all of this. So about 14 years old, Mary was. What about Joseph? Anybody? He was probably about 18 to 20, somewhere in that range. That was typically how it worked, okay? The male was typically older in this time. So Mary, 14 years old, we'll just go with that. She would have grown up poor. Mary would have worked hard. She would have been out in the field probably 10 hours a day or some form of that manual labor. And then she probably, given the context of that time, she probably would never go more than a few miles from where she lived. That would be her life. Born, raised, work hard, marry, have more poor children, die, and that continued to be the trend. Joseph, on the other hand, was a carpenter. We know this, carpenter by trade. He would have been, again, about 18 to 20 years old, probably on the 20 side if we're looking at it, a little bit older. And Joseph, too, would have been in a poor environment. He would have worked very long days to try to make his ends meet to be able to provide for his family, which still would have been considered poor. These are the two characters that are going to bring forth the Son of God. Really interesting. But it says something here. It says the betrothal stage. Now, betrothed was their engagement, similar yet not similar to what we have now. Anybody engaged in the house? All right, cool. A couple of you guys. Congratulations. Get married here. Abel, do it. It'll be awesome. All right. So the betrothal stage happens in three phases, okay? So the beginning of this is the engagement stage. And this is interesting. So what would typically happen is two families, particularly two dads, would get together and decide that their kids are going to get married. Anybody want to bring that back? No? Listen, some of you, it might help you. I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? Some of us need some good guidance. Anyways, so the dads would get together, and then they'd bring the kids in toward the end, but the kids would simply just kind of go, okay, great. They really wouldn't have a chance to veto it or say much, but they'd at least be brought into the end of the process. And then at that point, a dowry would be paid, right? This is great. There'd be a payment made. But then they would move into what they would call the betrothal stage, which would be about a year-long gap where they would not be together. In fact, they really wouldn't even talk to each other. They might see each other from afar, but for roughly about 12 months, they would be separated. And during this time, two things are happening. Number one, they're proving their faithfulness to each other. That is so important to know to bring the magnitude of this story alive. They would be proving their faithfulness to each other while also the husband in this stage, Joseph, would be building their home, or the attachment that would be connected to his father's home where they would live. That's right. In biblical times, typically, you moved in with his family and you would build an attachment onto their home. Anybody want to bring that back? All right. Some of us are like, we're so glad I was born during this time and not then. Crazy. So this was it. And then at the end of that 1 year, there would be a wedding ceremony. And that's when the consummation of the marriage. You know what that is? Look it up if you don't. All right. But it also said, so Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. Subtle words, very significant, right? And this is important because this is basically what the scripture is telling us right now. It's just confirming to us that they were not together. This is not Joseph's baby. This is not his kid. According to scripture, it's not his kid. So it's very important that that's justified in here scripturally. And then finally it says, to be found with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know where your mind goes, but I'm going to say this just so you can understand it. This is supernatural, not sexual. And this would have been something that, think about going back to the beginning of the Bible in creation time, when God's creating out of nothing. Our minds need to really run there to try to even begin to process what God did in this moment with Mary. But for Joseph, that didn't really help, right? Can you imagine Austin going, hey, but here's the cool thing. She called and she said that she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, not by anybody else. So you feeling better now? Probably not, right? This is still, so for poor Joseph, he didn't get much credit. Okay, so let's look what happens. The first thing I want to show you is the kindness of Joseph. Okay, I want to show you this. This is so special. Verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So notice the order. He found out the news from Mary. He thought about it and unwilling to put her to shame. Notice there's been no angel. Most of you know what's coming. There's been no angel yet. This all happened on his own. So first thing, it says he was a just man. What they're saying is this guy followed the religious law. And the religious law says if an adultery were to happen during this phase of betrothal, divorce was necessary, because it was a broken commitment. And so being a just man, he knew what he had to do. And yet, there were two ways that he could do it. He could do it in a public way, which would bring shame and dishonor, or he could do it in a private way, which would semi-protect him and her from what happened. Now, imagine being Joseph. I don't know if many of us in this, I'm going to give you credit, but I don't know if many of us in this room are going, wow, crazy story. I was all excited to get married. We're going to spend the rest of our life together. We're going to have a bunch of kids. This is going to be a bit. Our parents already know. Our families are in. But it's all going to end. But I'm not mad at all. No problem. Yeah, the Holy Spirit must have done that. Totally understand. Right? For Joseph, this is really tough. And yet he's sitting most likely in some form of a room and he's processing this and he's thinking about it. And yet in his own willpower, you see the kindness of Joseph come out, that he comes to his own conclusion to say, even though I could shame her publicly, I care about her and I want to take care of this privately. Now, the reality is people would have still known. But it would have been done in a way that would have been much easier for her and ultimately for him. So this is the decision that he comes to on his own. And it got me thinking about something that I think is helpful during Christmas time. All of us have different personalities. You ever notice that? Most of us have different personalities. We see the world differently. We interact with people differently. We react differently. By the way, for those of you that are not married, when you get married, you're probably going to marry someone that's different than you. And at first, you're going to think, it's so sweet. Oh my gosh, they're amazing. They do all these things. And then you're going to get married. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever. Why don't they see the world the way I do? And I want to encourage you, just as a side note, marriage tips, not about marriage, but I'll give you this one. Opposites attract by God's design because it fills in the gaps. God brings you someone different so the things that you lack, that person can help to fill in. So what looks like something that should repel is actually something that should bring you together. That was free. Maybe write that down for another time. But in this moment, what it got me thinking about is that compassion is not just emotional. It's intentional. Compassion is not just emotional. It's intentional. Now, some of us are wired with compassion. We're just wired to care for people in a way that's special. It stands out. You don't even try to. It just happens. But most of, I'll say most, a lot of us, and I'm one of them, don't necessarily just bleed out compassion all the time. And yet we're not removed from it. So it's an intentional thing that we decide to do, even though we may not feel it. Here's another marriage tip. I don't know why we're doing this, but let's just do it. When you're married, you're going to feel things and you're going to not feel things. You're going to love each other heavily at the beginning of your marriage, and then you're going to wake up sometimes and you're going to go, who are you? Why did I do this? But you're going to choose to love them anyway because you're not going to go off your emotions, because emotions are up and down, in and out. They are unstable. Love is an action, right? It's a choice, not a feeling. And so when it comes to compassion, I think some of us, maybe we, and I do it myself, we let ourselves off the gas a little bit when it comes to compassion because we just think, well, I didn't feel like doing that. But it's an intentional thing that we choose to do. And Joseph is modeling this beautifully for us. Let's look at verse 20. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So I get the picture. Joseph's just thinking about this heavily. You ever thought about something so much and you just passed out. You just fell asleep. Didn't pass out of fear. Just passed out, fell asleep. Falls asleep. And all of a sudden, he has a dream. This angel appears to him. Joseph, son of David. This is what the angel said. Do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so there's an angel, first of all, okay? That's not normal. Okay, I think in the Bible we look back and go, the angels happen all the time. They really don't. There's only few instances we see just in the Bible alone about angels. But this is a miraculous moment. This would have been something that typically would terrify. If you read in Scripture, everyone that sees an angel is scared to death. Not so much out of fear, though there's definitely a part of it. It's something they've never seen before. You can't process, you can't understand it, and it just brings you to your knees. By the way, the light would be so bright from the glory, brings you to their knees. So this angel appears to him. Now, it doesn't tell us who the angel is, but if you're familiar with some of the Christmas story, there's a part of the story with Zacharias and Elizabeth where the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias. So there's a good chance that it is the angel Gabriel. We don't know, but that's just for you Bible trivia people want to know that. Don't use that answer because I don't know if it's true. This is what he says. Joseph, son of David, right? Why is he doing that? This is very important. Throughout Scripture, it talks about Jesus coming from the line of David. Jesus coming from the line of David. So the angel's just confirming. I wonder if in that moment, I don't know, but I wonder if Joseph goes, no way. No, I don't know if he did that, but maybe he did. Just realizing that all of this is coming. Everything he'd been taught since he was a kid was coming to be. And then it says, conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if that fixed it for most of us, but for Joseph, that seemed to be enough. Hearing it again, because if you think about it, that's a crazy answer, right? And yet here's an angel now saying the same thing that Mary said. This baby is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Let's move on. Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, this is what the prophet said. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Okay, a couple of things. First, the name Jesus. So this is interesting. Probably don't think about this. The father naming a child, that was the only person that named the kid was the father. That was very significant. That's how you identified your child. I have a son. Name's Kaysen. That's Kaysen. I picked his name. Actually, his mom did, but that's okay. I picked his name. That's my kid. Who didn't name Jesus? Joseph. God did. God told Joseph what the name of the child is. That's very significant. So subtle, we miss it. That's very, very significant. And you will notice, if you go back and read through your Bible, you will notice that whenever God or an angel is speaking about Jesus, they never say that Joseph was his father. He was his adopted father, of course. He raised him, of course. People in the area refer to him as father. You'll see other people in Scripture. But the Bible is very careful to make sure that everyone understands that God is the father of this child. Small thing, but really interesting. And then it says what the prophet said. That comes from Isaiah 7:14. You've probably heard that before. And then they use this name. They use two names. He says, use the name Jesus. And then they also use the name Emmanuel. Now, we know Jesus has a bunch of names, right? There's a bunch of different names throughout Scripture. And the two significance here is Jesus means Savior. This is his office. But Emmanuel means God with us, right? And this is the position, if you will, that he's coming from heaven down to earth. He's bringing the, did anybody do the candlelight? You've ever been to a candlelight service? All right, it's the picture of Jesus coming down into the dark world, being the light of the world, and then that light spreading through us through the spreading of the gospel. And so this is what it's saying. This Emmanuel is God with us. And also it's identifying that Jesus is God. By saying God with us, it's saying this baby is God. That is an interesting point in itself. Years ago, I heard of a message that I actually didn't sit in, but I'll never forget it. I have it memorized. You ready for this? Somebody walked into a group of people like this, got up there to deliver a message, and he said this, Jesus is God. And he grabbed his Bible and he went and sat down. That was his whole message. You'll never forget it either. You now have memorized someone's sermon. So significant. Why? Because you couldn't stop thinking about it. One, because it was the shortest message ever. You got to lunch early. What a great day. But the reality is that truth is something we don't think about enough. That Jesus is God. By saying Emmanuel, giving him that name, it's identifying that he is God. Okay, let's keep moving. We're almost done. The second thing I want to point out, the obedience and courage of Joseph. So let's look at what happens. He has this dream. An angel comes, says all these things. What's Joseph going to do? Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage. Y'all understand what that is? Okay. Until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So what happened? Did he wait? Did he think about it? Did he ponder? No, it says immediately he woke up and he went to Mary, or in that symbolism, he went to Mary. So the idea is he didn't hesitate. He didn't waver. Guys, this is tremendous, okay? This decision that Joseph makes would have been career altering. We'll see in a minute how he has to travel and all these things. Career altering, reputation altering. People would now know that this guy stayed with her, this woman who got pregnant out of wedlock, and no one understands it. What? Career ending, reputation ending, home changing. Everything would be different about his family and his parents and the way they looked at him, most likely. This was a massive decision, and yet he got up and he went. And it gives me this idea of a unique kind of courage. When you think about family, sometimes it takes a lot of courage to do stuff with your family, right? Some of you know this. You know exactly what I'm talking about because you're going through it right now. It takes courage, and courage isn't the, this is just a cute little line you can think about this. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's jumping in something scary and moving forward anyway. And this is what Joseph does. He has no answers. We know what happened because we've got the whole story. He gets up from this angel and says, okay, let's do this. And so does Mary. Unbelievable stepping forward. Everything is on the table. And then again, it says not consummate because, again, we're making sure you understand this is a virgin birth. Okay, everybody got it? All right. Number three, last one. Let's look at the protector in Joseph. We're going to jump ahead to chapter 2. Just follow along on the screen behind me. Verse 13 says this. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother," so Jesus is already born, "and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and he took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. Now, this journey, okay, would have been 70 to 90 miles in a car, right? No big deal. Most likely walking, or even worse really for Mary, being as pregnant as she was, on camelback. Okay, now there are airlines that won't let you fly pregnant, okay? She rode 70 to 90 miles. And on average, if they were booking it, they would have gone about 10 miles a day. So this would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of a 7 to 12 day journey to get to this place. And what would they have encountered? Terrain, right? There weren't roads made. There wasn't paths made like we're used to. They would have encountered rough terrain. They would have encountered wild animals. And the biggest threat of all, they would have encountered thieves. That was a constant problem, particularly at night, because there were not lights like we have. It was pitch black. And so Joseph is going to lead his family on a journey, and he's going to have to be the protector. Now, I was thinking about Joseph, and I thought this was kind of funny. So my daughter, when I think about the feelings that Joseph experienced in this whole story, it reminds me of my daughter's feelings that she had this week. So I'll show you this first picture. Throw it up here. Okay, so it looks even more graphic as I look at it now. So if you can tell, that's her front tooth. Okay, so my daughter now has no two front teeth for Christmas, which is amazing. This was this week. Now, that picture is a little scary because we could only get her to pull the towel down for half a second, and then she put it up. What she was doing, you can tell that front tooth, it is literally hanging on by one string or tentacle or whatever. So a dentist could tell me what that actually is one day. And she's holding it in her mouth. It's bleeding profusely. We got the blood off for the picture. It's bleeding profusely, and she's holding it, and I'm telling you, she's crying hysterically. I actually had to go back to church that night, and I got out of Dodge. I was like, good luck, babe. Have fun with that. I'm out. And she, I'm telling you, she just is so scared. She hurts so much, and she wouldn't pull it out. She wanted to keep it in. She would not quit. But then I went to church like a good husband. I bailed out. And then I came back to this, and look at this. Look at that smile. She was so happy to show me that tooth when I got back. She was so excited because the pain was gone. She looked cool now. I don't know if that's true. She looked cool. She had a tooth now. She was getting money. So she thought. She didn't. That's all right. Don't judge us. But she all the, why? Right? In the beginning, she felt like the world was over. How in the world am I ever going to recover from this painful tooth experience? And yet in the end, what was waiting on the other side, right, was just a sense of peace. It's different. Now that's very childish to connect to this story, but for Joseph, this was the journey he was on. And he got news that changed everything. He was put in an impossible situation. And I'm telling you, I don't wish that on any of us because I don't know what we would do. And yet Joseph rode through the story, and what waited on the other side, the gift of being able to raise the Son of God. We don't know much about Joseph after that. We really don't. And likely he was older, and so he might have died earlier than not. We don't know. But we do know this. God was not going to put Jesus in the hands of just anybody. And so I think we see Joseph has kindness. He has obedience, selflessness, courage, and he was a protector. And I wonder if for you this Christmas season, I'm wondering if maybe there's an area of your life or a little season here that you need to have some courage. And I have some ideas of what that could look like. Here's number one. Maybe you need to have some courage with a family member. Maybe there's a broken relationship in your family. Maybe someone that you need to just lay down the sword and go to. And maybe you need to apologize. Maybe you need to accept an apology. I don't know what the story is, but I know every holiday this seems to be a thing. And so maybe for you the courage might be, instead of extending this and pushing this off, you lean into it. Just say, you know what? This whole season is about something much bigger than you and I fighting. Can we try to mend this? Could we take a step forward? Another thought might be, maybe you can bless someone materially. Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's with something you have that you are able to give, or a service maybe you're able to offer. What a great time to just be thinking of others when oftentimes we tend to turn in. Maybe your courage might be to say, hey, you know what? Even if this alters what my Christmas looks like, I want to take a step toward somebody. I want to do something for someone, something special, something unique, something different. Maybe, this one's hard to hear, Maybe you need to stop being the main character in your story, and you need to let Jesus take that role. Maybe part of the reason you've got problems, and maybe you're looking at Joseph's life, and you're like, well, that ain't my story, so that's good. But maybe the reason you're going through some of the challenges is because you're still trying to do it on your own, or you're still trying to be in control. And when we surrender and let God take over our life, whether that's salvation or it's just an area of our life that we're walking in, man, when we do that, we see things start to change. Here's another one. Maybe you need to make your family a priority this year. Maybe you're one of those that kind of pushes family off to the side, and maybe this is an opportunity for you to step out. Or maybe you lead a family. Maybe your parents in here, and you need to help your family make Jesus a priority this year. And finally, maybe you need to share the good news of Jesus with someone else. You know, what's beautiful about Christmas is that Jesus came and he brought light into a dark world, but it didn't stop there. He gave us the ability and opportunity to be a part of that story with him. And we get to take that light and spread it to other people. And that's what it looks like when we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe for you, you're like, oh, talking about God would be really intense. I'm not sure I can handle that. Maybe you just invite someone to a Christmas Eve service, or you bring them to church with you, maybe on a Thursday night. Just say, hey, you know what? I don't know if we can I just bring you somewhere? And then maybe afterwards we can talk about it. Maybe there's an opportunity for you this Christmas to use some courage and to step out into a new area for your life. Joseph's an incredible dude. He walked an unbelievable journey. Hopefully this gives you a little bit more perspective of the Christmas story. It makes this whole thing just a little bit more special.